strained. She could feel her wings crackling with reversion. Normally, Catti Bree would have climbed before the reversion, giving her farther to fall, and thus more time to enact her levitation. But the words to that spell simply wouldn't come to her. It was Lady Avelier. The diviner had found her and was attacking her magically, dispelling her Dwyamers, jumbling her thoughts. Down she sped, angling steeply, even tucking her wings in a full stoop, knowing that she had to get to the ground as quickly as possible. She noted a stand of pine trees and soared out that way while maintaining the dive. She felt the magic evaporating and pulled up with all her strength to break her dive. It worked, but a moment later she felt her arms, not wings, at her sides. Still some 50 feet from the ground, she began to tumble, a human again, and in a place where no human should be. She fought to recite the levitation, but couldn't remember the words in any sensible order, and hadn't the time anyway. She crashed into a thick pine, breaking branches and limbs, bouncing down through the tangle to the lowest branch, where she caught a handhold, but only for a moment, before falling free the last dozen feet, to land flat on her back on the ground, where she knew no more.
"The city is in disarray,"
Rial reported, bursting into the room alongside Erica. Lady Avelier regarded them briefly before turning back to the window and offered no immediate response. She could see the tumult in the streets below the coven, with couriers running all around, no doubt delivering messages from one lord to another. Something had happened, something powerful and dramatic, and not just within the coven, where they had felt the shift keenly.
"What does it mean, lady?"
Erica dared to ask.
"We don't know what it is, so how could she answer that question?"
Rial scolded.
"Have you done as I asked?"
Lady Avelier asked, turning around to aim her question at Erica. The younger woman nodded.
"Then proceed."
Erica looked to Rial for support. They hadn't started their run to Avelier's chambers together, but had met up in the wide foyer of the main building. Rial returning from the streets, Erica from the old library.
"Lady, the words do not easily form,"
Erica started.
"Try,"
Lady Avelier ordered.
"It is a minor Dwyamer."
Erica took a deep breath, then lifted her hand up, palm upward, and began to quietly recite a spell. A few heartbeats later, a burst of light formed in her hand, glowing brightly for just a moment, then growing dimmer. Erica lowered her hand, but the globe of light remained, hovering in the air before her.
"By the gods,"
Lady Avelier breathed, and she turned back to the window, but looking up to the sky and not to the streets below. Earlier that day, the sisters had found confusion, where spells they had prepared had become jumbled and useless. If that wasn't curious enough, now Erica, a young magic user unskilled in the old ways, had just enacted a spell of light creation, and from an incantation a century and more thought lost to the world.
"What does it mean, lady?"
Erica asked.
"We are a major crazy,"
Lady Avelier quietly replied.
"It means that we will know confusion. Then we will find transition. Then we will know renewed power."
The two younger women looked to each other with great concern.
"Mental agility,"
Lady Avelier said to them, turning around to offer them a comforting look.
"The Empire of Netheril stands above because we are wiser and more clever. We have felt such cosmic curiosities before."
She nodded and motioned to the door.
"Go and rest. And when you are renewed, prepare your spells anew. Let us see what tomorrow brings."
The two women bowed and departed, and Lady Avelier turned back to her window. Something was going on here beyond her comprehension, beyond anything she had known in her life, she sensed, and feared, and hoped. The world was always in flux. Her dear Paris had shared some concerns of Churl Rigo's darkness, had even hinted that the fabric of magic might yet grow unsteady. Yes, something was in flux. And had not Lady Avelier herself discovered the rebirth of this favored mortal of the goddess Mialiki? And now this confusing day,
and what it would ultimately mean, Lady Avelier could not be sure. But whatever might come from this magical hiccup, for that was the only word she could think of to describe this day's events, Lady Avelier meant to benefit from it. The clever ones always did. Painful spasms drew Catti Bree back to consciousness. She lay on the ground, blood all around, one leg bent weirdly, surely broken, and one arm throbbing, likely also broken. The sun was very low in the western sky, so she understood that she had lain there for many hours. She was lucky to be alive, she realized. Her levitation had failed her. Why hadn't she been able to recall the words and cadence of the spell? And why had her spell scar power of shape-shifting worn away so quickly? The spinning questions brought her back to her fear that Lady Avelier had found her and had brought her down. She propped herself up on one elbow and looked all around, desperate, though turning her head caused her more discomfort. Catti Bree used all of the discipline she could muster, training earned in two lifetimes, forcing aside her fears, forcing herself to focus. She thought of other incantations she had prepared, but none seemed helpful at that moment, and worse, none came clear in her thoughts. If Avelier arrived before her, would she even be able to muster the slightest cantrips to defend herself? She fell back to her greatest safeguard, her most favored Dwyamer, and concentrated on the weather. She would bring in a storm, yes, and if any enemies appeared, she would strike them dead with powerful bolts of lightning. She enacted the magic, so she believed, but she needed time for the clouds to gather and the storm to coalesce. And more than that, she realized, as she began to swoon, she needed to stop her bleeding. She began to pray, calling to the goddess for spells of healing, and to her great relief, unlike the arcane magical spells, these words, these prayers did flow through her. She saw the light blue mist gathering at her wounded right arm, flowing from under the wide sleeve of her robe. The spell came forth, and Catti Bree felt the rush of gentle warmth, smooth as satin and decidedly comforting, flowing through her body, sweeping through her like a cresting wave, and then breaking with a burst of hot energy upon her broken right arm, upon the very spell scar of the goddess whose favor had granted her this power. With a trembling left hand, Catti Bree pulled back the sleeve of her robe. She looked upon the spell scar, the head of Mialiki's unicorn, as the mist dissipated, and she blinked repeatedly.